This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Sean Combs wants the sex worker to be well endowed. Again, this ain't a trust fund at Harvard University.
They've got a lot of great evidence against Diddy, but if they engage in prosecutorial misconduct...
You said the state doesn't have enough evidence to prove this. They're saying the state's putting on too much evidence. It's wrong.
I heard Dr. Marshall describe what's a domestic battery situation. And that's what this is. That's what I've been saying. This is not sex trafficking.
Just because you start talking louder and louder doesn't mean you're right.
I think people around him knew that he had a fascination with powerful people.
Shooter,
when I was working with him.
Famous people. Private parts, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal. This is what he's interested in.
This fantasy is of being at the center of attention, the king of the world. And maybe the fact is he's compensating for his small appendage.
Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us straight out to the courthouse, standing by Tisa Tells, pop culture commentator and star of Tisa Tells on YouTube. Tisa, thank you for being with us. Tell me, first of all, what happened in court today?
Nancy, today the court was a pure circus. Kanye West actually showed up and turned the courthouse into pandemonium. By the way, we did speak to him. We were not able to get exclusive, but he is expected to be in here all next week. So, Nancy, you know I'm going to get the exclusive for you. Aside from that, Diddy was caught nodding again by the prosecution. The prosecution brought it up to the judge. Brian Still actually stood up and said he vouches his personal integrity that he did not see Diddy nodding. The only thing is, I was 100% looking at Diddy and saw him turn around and look to his supporters, meaning his family in the back, and nod vigorously. The prosecution wanted him to know that's still a point of testimony. If you don't know, now you know, and they want him to knock it off.
Tisa Tells, how did the star witness of today hold up?
Nancy, I gotta tell you, the star witness of today was the assault rifle with filed off serial numbers that had a magazine that held 60 rounds of green point ammo. What is that? Well, Homeland Security was kind enough to explain. It is a type of ammo that actually pierces bulletproof vest. That was the star witness. As much as Diddy's team tried and tried again, it seemed like it was just casual of his security to have this gun around with no serial numbers. Listen, you cannot make green point ammunition seem as it's just standard security protocol. Again, we were shocked.
Tisa, how was Sean Combs reacting to the testimony? Did he do his usual kicking around, twirling around, putting his head in his hands, or if it's really bad, squinting into the monitor like, it's not happening?
Listen, you want to know how Sean Diddy Combs is reacting to testimony? Vigorously turning around and nodding her head. Again, the prosecution let it be known that they have people on all points of the courtroom looking at him. Again, I will say one thing. If Diddy sees an inch, he will take a mile. Unfortunately, the prosecution let it be known it ends today. And the judge actually put a reminder. I believe now Diddy is on notice. There's nobody else he can nod his head at unless he looks at the ceiling and nods his head, which I wouldn't put it past him. Again, Diddy's body language was unspoken testimony, but I'm glad the prosecution shut it down.
And you know what, Rob Shooter, you, with all these years as a PR expert, the jury can very likely smell the stink of fear. You can actually, it's like a presence in the courtroom. Once the tide turns, suddenly the whole dynamic changes in the courtroom. And I want to hear from your point of view specifically how Sean Combs is responding to this turn in the tide.
He'll be shocked. So at first he'll be in denial about it. I've been at a lot of his shows and some of them did not go very well. And he used to say afterwards, I could feel the crowd. I'm losing the crowd. That's what he must be feeling right now. He is losing this jury. However, knowing Puffy like I do, he doesn't give in without a fight. He's going to be screaming at his lawyers. He's going to be screaming at his team. It's no coincidence that suddenly his PR machine is outside the trial trying to influence people to say nice things. They know they're in trouble, but they are not giving up without a fight.
Did you hear, Rob Shooter, that Ray J, who I got in a big knockdown drag out with the other day over Sean Combs, has now threatened to leave the country because of the Diddy trial? He should want to stay in the country because of the Diddy trial, because these women are being represented in court. They're being given a voice after years of abuse. But he wants to leave the country? Really?
Absolutely.
Him and Alec Baldwin?
Absolutely.
Bye.
I heard this story. I saw your conversation with him. I think it's about being a coward. You know, Nancy, I do not have to sit down and get on your show with you as much as I enjoy talking to you, Nancy. But I think people that worked with Diddy, people that maybe once defended Diddy, have to now speak out. You can't be quiet. You can't run away. That is being complicit. You have to speak out. There are a lot of people in New York, around the world, who made a lot of money by being around Diddy, editors of magazines, executives at Estee Lauder, the fragrance company, executives at Macy's, where they sold his clothing line. Where are all those people now? I try to common call a lot of them, and nobody's returning my calls. They are all running away, maybe not leaving the country, but they're running away.
Running away from Sean Combs. And also what's concerning, for instance, here, Ray J is a great example. He seems very likable. You know, a lot of people think he's handsome and talented. If he is siding with Sean Combs after all this testimony, that's not good, because it's a test for who on the jury could be feeling the same way. Back to Tisa Tales joining us outside the courthouse. You described one juror, a lady juror, who you've been a little worried about up front. And then you went to two other jurors, I believe you said, on the back left.
Yeah, so in the middle row on the left, okay, they're sharing a monitor. Again, I have to tell you how impactful this was. The prosecution didn't just show one picture, two picture. It was like again, again, and again. So it was rapid fire. And they were leaning in almost as if they were looking at like gruesome carnage and leaning out. At one point, she looked to the side. The jury was visibly uncomfortable. They were squirming. They literally had to look away, and the prosecution didn't let up. Another picture, another picture, another picture. And it was so impactful. Again, I'm not going to lie. At that time, I think mistrial. They started to get the idea of throwing in another mistrial. The jury was repulsed, but again, the shock, the awe, leaning in like, what is that? Oh my God. It was a lot. Again, we wanted to see what was on those photos too, but I see the point the prosecution was making. Like, these are very graphic, disgusting, whatever it is, but it brought it home on what a hotel night was, a dirty freak off. So,
Tisa, what about the male jurors? Are they responding the same way as the lady jurors?
I gotta say, I was a little bit concerned about the male jurors, but when it comes to the graphic nature and the pictures, they also were very, very disgusted. Again, leaning in, what is that? Rubbing their heads, looking to the side, just being like, or these sighs of, oof, like it was a lot. Again, the prosecution, through all of the smoke screens, you know, they are moving forward. Now, and again, when we heard testimony about the 10,000 rent and whether, you know, she was a girlfriend or not, it seemed like they might have been losing them. But the pictures, it brought it home.
You know, to Troy Slayton, trial lawyer out of L.A., when a grown man looks away from a photo of a sex scene with disgust, a man looks away, it's bad.
Yes. But here's what really concerns me, Nancy, is that the prosecutors shouldn't overplay their hand. They've got a lot of great evidence against Diddy, but if they engage in prosecutorial misconduct...
If they engage in prosecutorial misconduct... First you said the state doesn't have enough evidence to prove this. They're saying the state's putting on too much evidence. It's wrong.
But what they can't use is one witness to say that Diddy is a liar again and again, unless he testifies. So the federal rules of evidence are very specific.
That's all you've evidence got to say, Slayton.
That the defendant is a liar.
For grown men looking away from a photo of a naked woman, They're disgusted. Nancy, they're nauseated. They're grossed out. And you're talking, that's what I'm asking you. But so you're trying to make me talk about something else.
If they have a great, wonderful playbook of all this evidence, why don't they just stick to that? Why do they try to overplay their hand by keeping to show these text messages that say that Diddy is a liar? Because the federal rules.
Yeah, it's terrible when you have a royal flush.
But the federal rules don't allow it.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Back to Tisa Tells joining us at the courthouse. Tisa, that apology video that Jane was there when Combs brings in the family, advisors, her, they talk to a lawyer about doing the apology video. And it seems as if Sean Combs was instructed not to use Cassie's name. And I think I know why, because it would be somewhat of an admission. So tell me about Jane's testimony about her helping construct that apology video that Sean Combs disseminated on social.
Now, one of the most shocking things that came out about in the courthouse was, as you know, his apology video was largely not well received because people thought that it was disrespectful because he never said Cassie's name. We found out, and it was super shocking via Mark Agnifilio, that he was the one that said, take Cassie's name out of there because she may well be a grand jury witness. And already they were forward thinking that they didn't want to look like they were in any way tampering that. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us, and it told the courtroom largely, he knew how much trouble he was in. And he knew Jane was one of the only people that could either testify, right, or put a nail in his coffin. And that's why it was so shocking to people as her testimony went on, that you know this woman has your freedom in her hands, but its nature couldn't be denied. And he proceeded to treat her even more cruelly. Even more shocking. Again, it was very strategic having her around the family, having her lawyers, paying for her lawyers, making sure that there was nothing that could, she would be under the umbrella of legal privilege. However, it looks like they somehow misplayed that because here we are again in court and Jane is right now having Diddy's freedom in her hands.
I love the way that you explain that, kind of keeping her in the fold so she would use his lawyer that he paid for so he could still keep a tab on her. And she was very quick to point out, Tisa, that she did not speak to investigators before she testified at the grand jury, that she didn't cooperate with them. She was only there because she was subpoenaed and forced to be there. And that's after speaking to the lawyer Sean Combs provided for her. Now, I want everybody to look at what Tisa Tells is talking about, the apology video. Jane, the witness, was there when the family and the lawyers are all trying to figure out what are we going to say in the wake of the Cassie beatdown video. This is critical. Watch.
It's so difficult to reflect on the darkest times in your life. Sometimes you gotta do that. I was f***ed up. I mean, I hit rock bottom, but I make no excuses. My behavior on that video is inexcusable. I take full responsibility for my actions in that video. I'm disgusted. I was disgusted then when I did it. I'm disgusted now. I went and I sought out professional help. I had to go into therapy and go into rehab. Had to ask God for his mercy and grace. I'm so sorry. But I'm committed to be a better man each and every day. I'm not asking for forgiveness. I'm truly sorry.
I really don't even know what to say to that. That's from Diddy's official Instagram. Except technical legal term, BS. BS. Therapy, my rear end. Rehab, really? And then asking God to forgive him? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Tisa Tells, isn't it true? According to the witness, who is under oath and will be committing perjury if she's lying, that after his apology video, he then goes on to beat Jane so badly that in one case he broke down the door, and she has video of that, and the jury saw. Now, this is when he's trying to be a better man again. Objection. My rear end. That's a lie. Be a better man. He beat her to hell and back. Is that when he's a better man? Tore down the door again. Objection. My rear end.
What happened in court when Jane Doe testified? We all knew the violence was coming, but nobody knew it was going to be a scene out of The Shining. To hear that little bunny rabbit talk about, yes, she threw a glass, yes, she threw a candle, and then she went on a chase through her house. She ran to the bedroom door, realizing quickly she made a mistake. She locked the door. He kicked in the door. Again, these are expensive, heavy doors. She even said it was so much to fix, she couldn't afford it, which, by the way, he gave her the money to fix these doors in cash in an unmarked brown paper bag, which seems to be the Diddy special. Let's see what the IRS has to say about this, you know? But he kicked in one door, right? It was, she ran to the bathroom. He kicked in the door to the bathroom. She ran to the closet, hiding, and Kit was trying to kick in the door to the closet, kick the handle, kick the door. She did what she could. She furiously changed into a dress she could run in. He kicked that in. She ran out the house barefoot, six blocks barefoot in a dark Southern California evening. You know how dark it gets in. And she hid for about 2 hours, hoping that he would calm down and go away. At the end of 2 hours, she came back still scared out of her mind and came back, and that demon was still waiting for her. And the violence she actually said he went through, it broke our hearts, but it actually shocked. And mind you, while we're listening to the violence that was to come, the apology video is still fresh in our minds. Cassie is still set fresh in our minds. When I say he painted him all his own self out to be a liar, it was shocking and groundbreaking just how damaging her testimony was to him.
Straight out to the courthouse, Tisa tells, you know it's bad when Jimmy Kimmel gets a mouthful of your rear end, right? He bit right into Sean Combs, talking about having his children attend the trial is not the, quote, ideal take your family to work day. Is the family still sitting in the courtroom, the children hearing about three male sex workers entertaining him, their father, Sean Combs?
Listen, the children are back. I will say Justin Combs has been MIA. However, we did see Christian Combs. We did see Quincy Combs. And we saw Sean Diddy Combs' mother in court, listening to the tawdry details, looking stone-faced. Again, I've said it all this time. We don't know if Diddy has PR on the ground. If he does, they are doing a horrible job because the optics, it is never played over as well. Again, what are your sons doing? They're looking around. They're passing notes back to each other. They're writing things down. Now, to be fair, there's no talking in the courtroom, but you gotta wonder what are on these notes they're passing back and forth when they're hearing about daddy's little secret, okay? It has been very tense. They look around, but they are sitting there stoically stone-faced. But it makes me wonder, okay, as nice as those kids seem to be, if daddy goes bye-bye, it looks like federal forfeiture also might be taking their trust funds. So you gotta ask, are you supporting your father for your bank account, or truly because this is a unanimous showing of love and support?
Tisa, think back. Were Combs' children in the courtroom when we heard testimony about the male sex worker showing up and Sean Combs comes striding in, buck naked from the neck down, wearing a burqa from the neck up? Did they hear that too?
Oddly enough, every single time the Combs children heard devastating, disgusting, perverse testimony, testimony about their father, okay? The next day, they were MIA. I don't know if it's because they needed to go back to their happy place and wash that visual out about the man that they love, respect, that's supposed to guide them. Or maybe they look at the social media just like we do and see that the public thinks it's actually weird that a family we once thought were the most loving, close family literally will sit there and look the other way when they hear about horrible abuse and depravity with women that they largely knew for. Let's think about Cassie. She was there with Diddy for 10 years. Let's look at Jane Doe. She was there for Diddy for 4 years. These are women that they should know and have some type of connection with. Again, very, very odd.
So Greg Morse joining me, veteran trial lawyer, criminal defense attorney, joining us out of the Palm Beach jurisdiction, author of Untested on Amazon at morselegal.com. So you're still saying it's just a tiff between boyfriend, girlfriend?
Well, it's the Jane's testimony. If I didn't know who called her, I would think the defense called her. Her testimony wasn't supportive of sex trafficking. It was supportive of battery, maybe aggravated battery.
What do you think sex trafficking is? Story.
Well, I know it's not people that the day before Sean Combs is arrested, they go and have a hotel night with them. They want to rub their feet in afterwards. These are women that made bad choices with the sex stuff, but none of their testimony says that the violence was to force them into it. She only got angry when she thought Sean Combs was actually sleeping with another person. She still had her rent paid. That was her main concern when the employment separated. She testified to that. So while Sean Combs is a horrible, weak human being and disgusting, the prosecution charged this as sex trafficking, and the defense has to be very happy with what could have been much worse testimony, that Jane gave them the things they said in opening, that this was an angry person. This was someone maybe you wouldn't do these type of sex acts and these type of partying, but these women intentionally did it. They only got angry after the fact. And that's what we're seeing here. And as far as a sex trafficking case, unfortunately, these aren't victims of sex trafficking. Real victims of sex trafficking don't rub their captor's feet unless they're forced to. They don't get their rent paid when they don't live with the person. That's just not how it goes. So he's a horrible human, but the defense got some good stuff to work with in Jane's testimony. And the mistrial, it's probably because Sean looked at the juror. And the prosecution got excited and tried to make a big deal of it. So, you know, these things happen
in trials. Actually, the mistrial motion was by the defense. I believe it's the third one they've made. The third one's been shot down. So, Dr. Bethany Marshall, when a woman is beaten and beaten and beaten and dragged and hiding in the bushes and writing, "I am not an animal. I don't want to be locked in a room and forced to perform sex tricks while you watch." That is not consensual sex.
Well, Nancy, she's saying no. No means no. Even adolescents know that now in our society. She is saying no, and he kicks down four doors. And let me tell you something, Nancy. When a person is enraged or having a rage attack, it takes only 20 minutes for the amygdala to calm back down again. In other words, he could have controlled himself. He could have walked out that door, walked around the block, taken a pause, taken a beat, but he enjoyed beating her. This was a sadistic beat down, which tells me that he was in full control of her. I doubt she could have gotten away even though she was trying. He beat her within an inch of her life and let her live so he could sex traffic her even more, if these allegations are true. So we keep talking about how women don't get away from men like this. This is the tale that's unfolding right now. If anyone has any doubt about women staying with men who abuse them or sex traffic them, just listen to the story and ask yourself if Jane could have left or if she was afraid for her life.
Kimmel, and I quote, "If that wasn't bad enough, Diddy's mother was there to hear this. Reports say when she entered the courtroom, he checked in and asked if she had eaten anything. She said she did. Kimmel says, get ready to throw up." Take a listen to Jimmy Kimmel. Let's hear it from the horse's mouth.
"If that wasn't bad enough, Diddy's mother was there to hear this. Reports say that when she entered the courtroom, he checked in. He asked her if she'd eaten anything. She said, I did eat. And then he told her, get ready to throw up because..."
Bautista tells is Sean Combs' family still filming a documentary of this? This is going to be Combs' legacy, his sex trafficking trial?
Yes, Nancy, I know everybody has heard the rumors that look like they've been confirmed that Sean Combs' family is actually filming a documentary on this. Again, one could argue his legacy is going to be a sex trafficking file. I think the documentary should be filed. Daddy's money is about to dry up due to federal forfeiture, and we need other ways. Again, you gotta wonder, are they really just living in La La Land and drinking whatever Diddy is serving? Again, Diddy likes spiked drinks. It makes me think, were they putting it in the kids' milk? Because how can they think, after what the prosecution has done, that their father is going to get off? It's actually Shakespearean that they are documenting probably the last time they will ever see their father when he is not behind bars. I hope they're holding on to this time in the courtroom. And sadly enough, it looks like that documentary is going to capture every last sad moment.
The defense trying their best to skewer a witness on the stand, a former girlfriend of Sean Combs, only known as Jane. To Tisa Tell standing by at the courthouse, star of Tisa Tells on YouTube. Tisa, did they crack her? And wait, Tisa, have you ever seen, for instance, a horror movie or one of those satanic movies where
yes,
they throw holy water on the possessed person or the demon and they, ooh, and it burns them? That's what Jane is to Diddy. That's what's happening. She's the holy water being thrown on Diddy, right? And he's cringing, and they are trying to stab her through the heart with a wooden stake. That's what's happening. All day long, they went at it. Did it work? Did they crack her?
Judging from the sentiment in the courtroom, it does not look like they cracked her. She stayed strong. And this is the best they could do when she's in the early years of the relationship. She hasn't gotten to the part where he literally ripped his mask off. You know, they didn't crack her because what they were claiming is ridiculous. $150,000 over 3 years. You can make $50,000 a year, I believe, working a little bit of overtime. Again, It's always a choose your own adventure, but it's laughable to believe. And Jane did a good job of driving it home, like she said. And it literally, after that, we went immediately to a break where she said, well, how much is my body worth? Diddy's team was taken aback and flat-footed, because what do you say to something like that? Because to give a number, it proves everything we think about Diddy. But again, it was a powerful moment. And Jane, the little bunny rabbit, she is sharpening her shank and she is in there fending off. So I definitely think she did great.
Okay, to Sydney Sumner, Crime Stories investigative reporter, do I understand this correctly? That Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, fetishized Shaquille O'Neal? Okay, have you ever met him? He's as tall as a door, right? I would not mess with him. I wonder how he feels finding out he's been fetishized by Sean Combs. Okay, that's neither here nor there. Plus, Michael Jordan and Kobe? What?
Well, that aligns with previous testimony that we've heard, that Sean Combs specifically wanted to see entertainers' genitalia before they were invited for a freak off, because he wanted it to be as big as possible. And that plays into this sadism
scheme
that Dr. Marshall has brought
me
up.
Whoa, what? Please call me. What did you say?
Tisa Tells told us this a few days ago,
Nancy.
What
did you say about Shaq's genitalia?
I would have to assume that Shaq, being the person that he is a very large person in every aspect, Nancy.
Okay, see, here, Sydney, we talk about murder, serial murder, rape, arson, child molestation, drug lords. I don't have time for euphemisms. Okay, yesterday, you, Tisa Tells, kept talking to me about how Sean Combs, one of the sex workers, to be, quote, well endowed. Okay, you're making it sound like, as I said, a trust fund at Harvard University. When you're actually talking about the physicality, and I'm trying to put it delicately so we don't get thrown off the air, of the sex workers. Is that correct? That's a yes, no, Tisa Tales.
Yes. Yes. And listen, Grandma,
okay.
Just a yes.
Okay, Sydney Sumner, don't put perfume on the pig. Tell it.
Well, Nancy, it appears that Sean Combs wanted an entertainer that could make up for his Tootsie Roll. So we know that Sean Combs, according to the civil lawsuit, is not well endowed. So we think that he hired entertainers that were much more so. And this could either just be a personal insecurity, or maybe it is this sadism idea that Dr. Bethany Marshall has brought up several times, that he wanted the women who participated in these hotel nights to feel some level of pain every single time that they participated. And I wanted to respond to Eric Sadas earlier.
Go ahead, because I want to hear that.
So Sadas said that the defense made it seem that Combs ended these hotel nights early if Jane expressed being uncomfortable. But she pushed back on that idea and said, no, that was not out of sympathy for me. That was not for my protection. That was because Sean Combs didn't want to waste time on a bad hotel night when it was clear I didn't have chemistry with this entertainer. And that's why Jane says that she had a hand in hiring entertainers, because there were certain people that she at least knew and was comfortable with and wasn't so freaked out by the fact that she was having sex with a sex worker without a condom, or a very sweaty man, as Tisa told us. So the only reason she had a hand in setting these up was to protect herself. And Sean Combs never canceled anything for her comfort. It was because he didn't want to waste his time and money on a bad hotel night.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Now joining us from the Monahan Federal Courthouse is Lauren Conlon, star of Pop Crime TV on YouTube, investigative reporter. Lauren Conlon, thank you for being with us. What's your takeaway of what happened in court today?
Maureen Comey made another comment to the judge that she saw Diddy nodding again. Not at the jury, but he was nodding during cross-examination. And at this point, Brian Steele got up and said, "Your Honor, my client has been nothing but professional. And Ms. Comey, she can't see him. She's relying on the word of others." And the judge said, "Look, there's going to be a significant number of reactions in the courtroom. I can't police all of them. However, I am facing Mr. Combs. You know, I haven't seen him look at the jury, and I will continue to watch this." And look, does Diddy nod? Yes, he nods. But I think at this point, since he was admonished the other day, he would be very silly to go and look at the jury again and continue nodding. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. And today the jury, their reaction, I think they had a laugh or two during Agnifilo's cross when he brought up the baby oil and the fact that HSI has never taken baby oil from a raid before. And then at the end of his cross, he kind of said, "Oh, you're from LA?" to the special agent. And he said, "Yeah." And then Agnifilo said, "Great, enjoy New York." And then everybody kind of had a laugh.
Okay, hold on. Dr. Bethany Marshall, you see me looking off camera. It's because I had to make a flow chart. So Sean Combs wants the sex worker to be, in the words of Sydney Sumner and Tisa Tales, well endowed. Again, this ain't a trust fund at Harvard University. That's not what we're talking about. Does this have anything to do with that?
Well, not only is Diddy the diddler on the down low, but he is compensating for his small penis. And I do think that he has, I think we would say in all seriousness, polyperverse, meaning a perversion technically is when somebody cannot achieve orgasm through a relationship with another person. They can only achieve orgasm through some fetishized experience, like looking at a penis, maybe a high heel, a whip, a chain. Something that just stimulates their fantasies, but it has nothing to do with the person they're in front of. And A common one is sadism. We talked about this yesterday after the courtroom day wrapped, is that is inflicting pain and cruelty and humiliation on another person in order to achieve sexual arousal. But I think that this fantasy is of being at the center of attention, the king of the world, somebody who has great capabilities. And maybe the fact is he's compensating for his small appendage.
But one thing I don't get, Dr. Bethany Marshall, it's like a fantasy on a fantasy, and they're all weird. Okay, so let me look at my flowchart. It's a role play where Sean Combs is Michael Jordan. Okay, the paid escort, male escort, has a Shaq attack. He's Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, and Jane is Kobe. So it's a fantasy on top of a fantasy. What? Is there a name for that?
You know, Nancy, I in my clinical practice, I often explore people's sexual fantasies to try to get to the bottom of what their characterological issues are. And this one would take 6 months of psychoanalysis. Let me tell you, I mean, I think there's this identification with these greats, right? That he wants to be like them. That's his raison d'etre in life. I think he wants to be penetrated by them. So the idea that he's the recipient of a sex act, but you know, you can't just call up Shaq and say, can we Netflix and chill, right? You can't do that. Or can I take you out for a drink? So what are you going to do? You're going to substitute some poor woman you're sex trafficking in your fantasy life for Shaquille O'Neal, or she substitutes for
okay,
him.
I've got to go to the PR guru on this. Rob Sheeter joining us, host of Naughty But Nice. And you can find him at Rob Sheeter's daily newsletter on Substack. Rob Sheeter daily newsletter on Substack. Who knew about this fascination with the NBA greats? Now, I think I recall seeing Combs front line on the court at professional basketball games with various women. But yeah, who knew he wasn't watching the scoreboard? That's not what he was doing.
I think people around him knew that he had a fascination with powerful people. When I was working with him, he had a very unusual interest,
Sheeter,
fascination.
What are you saying? What are
saying
you saying? We're not talking about Gandhi or the president. Famous people, private parts. Why are you saying he was obsessed with famous people? Because from what I understand, this is what he's interested in. A set of these. Thoughts?
I don't know if I have thoughts about that, but I do have thoughts about the Grey Gums,
you
if
do.
You want to hear about that. I don't know, Nancy. I'm not the biggest sports fan in the world. I don't know quite where to say about this one here. I think Puffy is saying it all for us, but I also think, too, this witness is amazing. This Jane Doe.
You're rambling.
Stuff
you're totally rambling.
On the ropes.
Puffy is a force.
And
I don't even know what that means.
What
Puffy is a force. Let's go back to your safe place. What did you mean he's obsessed with famous people?
He was really obsessed with Prince Harry and William. When I worked with him, he had photographs of the young princes. They were about 18 or 19 years old. He wanted that touch of royalty to come to his parties. He would always ask me what was going on with them. Puff also, too, loved the weekly magazines. Most people think the weekly magazines come out on a Friday. They don't. They come out on a Wednesday in New York. Puff was the first person at the newsstand, or he sent an assistant to go through the weekly magazines. He would circle people that he wanted to be famous around him. Ashton Kutcher was somebody that he had a really unusual obsession with. And so Puff being obsessed with people that are powerful, successful, I think that has gone on a really long time.
So Rob Sheeter, you wouldn't touch a pair of these with a 10-foot pole, right?
Well,
you won't talk about it. But you hear the bizarre role play that he insisted on with Jane. And I got to tell you something. There's a point in the courtroom where you have to be confident enough in your case and in yourself to say no further questions, because you're making it worse. The defense is digging their own grave with their teeth. talking and talking and trying to massage Jane's testimony all day long on cross-exam has backfired spectacularly.
You're right, Nancy. No further questions. You've got me.
I understand that Greg Morse is gnashing his teeth and switching his tail. What's your problem?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, I've never heard of sex traffic victims go to Nobu one night, then go on their own. Listen, all the testimony that's been given so far from Jane and Cassie's own mouth is that they thought this was going to be a path to whatever in their career. Maybe Cassie doesn't sing that well and she thought this would work. Jane wanted to have nice things. No, but you're conflating so many things that aren't relevant to a court of law. Remember, Nancy,
just because you start talking louder and louder doesn't mean you're right.
No. You just don't like that.
Did you not hear anything about the Pimp Romeos? Nothing? Okay.
I heard Dr. Marshall describe was a domestic battery situation. And that's what this is. That's what I've been saying. This is not sex trafficking. It's not even close. No, but you're watching different cases. You're just upset that, as usual, the defense is right over the prosecution.
Think of something new. Think of something new to say. You already said that. We're watching different cases. I heard that. Sydney Sumner, got a question for you. Let's get down to some brass tacks here. Isn't it true that today, during a discussion regarding evidence amongst the lawyers, we find out about two more recorded phone calls from King Combs? Sean Combs himself, he doesn't make Christina Corum do his dirty work. He gets on the phone himself. What's the significance of that phone call with Jane?
Well, Nancy, we heard one phone call after their 2023 trip to Turks and Caicos, where Jane says that Combs sprung another hotel night on her. And the defense had a good point here. Jane had reached out to an entertainer before they even left, intending to invite him on the trip. So they did make a good point there. But we hear a phone call after that where they're exchanging loving messages about how much fun they had on this trip. And Sean Combs calls Jane his crack pipe. I don't know if that's supposed to be romantic, but we heard that he had such a good time with her and that he's so addicted to being with her that he was going to call her his crack pipe going forward.
And now we remember an American hero, Detective Sergeant Nicholas Pepper, LaForge Parish Sheriff's Office, Louisiana. Detective Sergeant Pepper struck and killed during pursuit after 24 years in law enforcement, leaving behind a grieving wife, Christy, and children, Patience, Gracie, and Nicholas II. American hero, Detective Sergeant Nicholas Pepper. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.